You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 170 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
This is Brutal Dave.
What's up, Brutal Dave?
It's been a long time.
It's been a heck of a long time. You haven't been on the last two or three times we've recorded.
I've been very busy.
So we have, too. I would like to apologize to our fans out there, both of you guys. We haven't put an episode out in about a month. Everybody's been really busy. One of our co-hosts is about to get married. We did a bachelor party thing, which I can't really talk about too much without him being here. We didn't do anything. We like floated down the river. Mm-hmm. That's about it. And hung out in Austin. Yeah. But we've all been super fucking busy. You've been getting ready for TRF, and it started now.
It's, yeah, 2 weekends down now. Yeah. So... done that. Since I was here last, I went to Dallas and saw Demons and Wizards. I'm wearing the shirt right now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long.
No.
I haven't been back here since then.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that was the week I was on that cruise, and that was back in August. That's why I didn't go to Demons and Wizards.
Yeah.
Even though
I
got the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because I was there, technically, quote unquote. I got the shirt, I was there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still regret missing that show, but
I still can't believe that I saw it.
I don't regret missing or spending a week with my wife on a cruise, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's the answer.
The call
that's gonna
of correct answer came from the other room.
That's right. That's the answer that's going to get me laid.
I can't believe that I saw that show.
I'm still jealous, but... I know it had been pretty magical.
It had, yeah, and I'm sure that that you and Sean had talked about it.
We
on
did
MSR Cast
because Sean was there. Sean the Metal Pigeon was there.
Yeah, he was there.
He told me it sucked just to make me feel better.
That was nice of him.
I know, right?
So, what surprised me was that they did, I think, two. Blind Guardian,
yep.
And two Ice
Two Ice
songs.
I know they did I Died For You.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other
and
one?
Burning Times.
Burning Times. I thought it was
and
Angels Holocaust for some reason. But
no, it was Burning Times.
Burning Times, okay.
And it was getting to see Hanzi Kurse sing Iced Earth songs just felt right.
I saw the video from Vakken, so I have an idea in my head of what it was like, but seeing something live on a video is not the same
not
as
the same
experiencing
thing.
It. I know that. I know they did Valhalla, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Fuck. What else they do?
They did Bard Song.
Oh, fuck. All I had to say was Valhalla, and that song is
now it's
stuck in my head.
For the night.
For the rest of the
yep.
week. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was incredible. Got to... You know, I've never actually gotten to see Tear play. They opened, and I've always, like, just missed them.
I think I saw them... They've only... The last, I think the last tour they were on here was Death Angel and Children of Bodom.
Okay.
Boredom, sorry. No. It wasn't Anathema. Yeah, and they opened up that tour. I've always been a big fan of them. I got to say, they put a new album out this year, and it's not anywhere in my top 20 albums.
Tears.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's serviceable.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's fine.
I mean, there's a couple good songs here and there, but... You expect more from
I haven't. I need to give it another shake. I haven't honestly listened to it a whole lot.
They are great live, though.
They were
fantastic. Sean had a
yeah.
complaint that they're great live, but they just picked the wrong set list, maybe.
Okay.
That was his complaint about them.
I think, to a degree, there's something to be said for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else played? It was another Lizzie Borden, right?
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot that Lizzie Borden played.
So Tear was Tear first?
Tear
and then,
was first,
wow.
And Lizzie Borden played next.
Okay.
I was actually outside for like half of Lizzie Borden's
yeah.
set. I ran into another old friend of mine out there, and we were outside talking.
Lizzie Borden?
You know, it was like... So Lizzie Borden, to me, up until that point, had always just been a name that I came across mm-hmm. periodically. I never listened to them. I didn't know anything about them.
I only know a couple tracks here and there.
But what I witnessed was 100% what I expected. Like, there were no surprises.
Straight out of 1984?
Yeah, right. It was fine. I mean, fun enough, I guess, but I'm never seeking that out to mm-hmm. listen to, basically.
And then Even the Withers came and blew you away.
Yeah. I don't understand why Lizzie Borden was there.
I was about to ask, why were they on this tour?
I don't know.
It's a weird combination.
Yeah, it was. But Demons and Wizards was phenomenal. That was kind of a...
How long did they play?
God, they played a good long while.
Over 2 hours, maybe?
They didn't play 2 hours, no. No, it wasn't that long.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did that.
We saw some other big concert recently, too.
We did. So, that was actually the punctuation mark on my vacation week.
That's right. You want to talk about your vacation first and then going into the show?
All right. So...
Let's keep it on the metal since we're talking about metal, and we're going to move on.
Okay.
Because I definitely want to talk to you about your trip.
Okay.
Because everything about it was, like, fascinating to me.
Okay.
How it happened. Just...
All right. We'll go over it.
Was it the day after you got back or the same day?
It was the same day we got back. We got back into Houston, and a couple hours later, we were at Iron Maiden show.
That's right.
Yeah. I have only seen Iron Maiden twice.
Really?
Yeah. That's another one. Like, For years, I was always just missing them. Like, I would be in the wrong town on the wrong day.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, things would always happen. So I've only gotten to see them twice now.
I was trying right before we saw them, I was trying to go back and figure out how many times I'd had seen them live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's double digits. It's 15 to 18 times, maybe. First
mm-hmm.
time I ever saw them was one of my very first concerts ever, was 1990. Was on the No Prayer for the Dying tour, was Anthrax opening up at the Summit. And I've seen him so many times since then. I saw him with Blaze, which was great.
Huh.
Which it was different.
Yeah.
It was Blaze and, like, I think Fear Factory opening up for him. It was this place called Unicorn Ballroom. It was such a weird designed venue that to watch a band. Like, you walk in the front doors and there's the stage. And then there was, like, an L shape where people were hanging out next to the stage.
Okay.
It was just, and if you really wanted to go see the show, you had to, like, fucking just, you bundle in there, you know?
That seems really weird for a Maiden.
It was.
Show.
It wasn't, yeah, they weren't at the top of their game during that touring cycle, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
No offense to Blaze or anything like that, but no Bruce, no Woodlands, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, this show was absolutely incredible. I felt like, so the last time I saw them was the other time at Woodlands, the Cynthia Woods Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
With you were there.
Was that the Judas Priest tour?
No, it wasn't Judas Priest.
Coheed and Cambria?
Yes, Coheed and Cambria open. That was the last time I saw them. And I felt like this show was easily way better.
Yeah,
I agree. Was a and I thought the last show was great.
This
one was a much better show.
I bought seats and I didn't pay attention that I was off to the right a little bit too far. I mean, I had a good view of the stage, but I couldn't see all the stage stuff they had going on, like the back of the stage.
Yeah,
where they had the giant eddies coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't see everything from a straight on.
Oh, that's
view.
Too bad, because I was almost straight on. And here's what we're talking about. If you didn't get the chance or won't have the chance to go to the Legacy of the Beast tour. Basically every
sponsored
song
by the video game.
Yeah, that was weird too.
The last tour they were sponsored by that video game.
Yeah.
Which I played it once or twice and I couldn't really get into it.
Yeah,
it was okay.
But basically every song had its own set piece.
Mm-hmm. Set design was different.
Yeah, the backdrop changed between just about every song. They'd have some weird big sculptural thing or whatever. They opened with Aces High.
Yep.
And they had the fighter plane.
The big
like the plane. Full size.
I saw
fighter
that
plane.
Pretty well, which is where like the first couple songs they had this aesthetic of like, you know, war and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they had sort of like this camo stuff everywhere. Yeah. And Nika was covered like the first two or three songs like just by this whole sheet.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is going on? Why is the drummer covered up? Then they finally let him loose.
They let him loose.
I'm like, Nico's loose. All right, let's do it.
they had some incredible. Did you see the Icarus? Could you see that?
I saw part of it.
That was rad.
I saw people's videos of it.
It was really cool.
I could see it on the screen.
Okay.
They had those big screens on the side of the stage. I could see those. I think what was blocking my view was actually some of the lighting rigs and systems that they provided.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a different, you know, environment, they had more room to spread them out or whatever. But yeah, from my view, they were blocking my view. Whatever.
The coolest one though, as far as just straight wow factor, the Icarus was a big wow.
It was cool
for me. Especially because it started moving, which I was not expecting.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, articulated and it moved. That was cool.
Hey, 8-point articulation, like a G.I. Joe figure.
Yeah. And, but no, the coolest one was at the end when they had like the giant demon Eddie.
Yeah.
Could you see that one at least? That was amazing. The horns took up the entire width of the stage.
Yeah.
Like, that's how big this Eddie head
was.
And
they still had a costume Eddie come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved
during the Trooper, wasn't it?
I believe it was the Trooper, because he was dressed in the British garb.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Bruce was, like fencing with him.
Yeah.
He's a trained fencer.
Right.
Like, it's pretty great.
Yeah. It was, man, just a lot of fun. Oh, and then, like, two nights later, what's his name? Threw his guitar into the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yannick?
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I watch that dude, I'm like, he's like spinning the guitar around his neck and shit. I'm like, that shit's just going to fly off.
And it did.
It did.
You called it.
Yeah.
He hit some security guard in the head or something like that.
Oh, hit security guard?
I didn't watch the video. There's video of it. But yeah, apparently it flew off and hit one of
Too bad it didn't hit like a fan. I was even like, I'm keeping this shit.
Yeah, it's mine now.
I got
now.
A fucking battle scar from, from Iron Maiden. But yeah, so before we met up in Iron Maiden, I got to go to a special event in the Woodlands. They brought in they didn't bring him, the fan club, the Iron Maiden fan club,
mm-hmm.
brought in their longtime artist, Derek Riggs, and it was great. I got you a print, and I got me something.
Thank you.
Got him to sign some vinyl. Until you gave him that money, he was like not talking to you.
Okay.
But as soon as you gave him money, he was like, he was really cool. He's very British.
Okay.
Like, it's like, hey, can I get a selfie? He's like doing weird shit behind you and stuff, you know. I'm like,
okay.
It's very.
You said he was an odd character.
He's an odd bird.
Yeah.
As the Brits would say. But he was great. I was so excited to meet him. I really wanted to buy his art book, but it was like $80.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but
it's
out of print, number one. And number two, he would actually spend time and draw something in the opening page.
That's cool, too.
I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool, too. But I just couldn't justify the money at the point.
Yeah.
I did get a couple of vinyls signed for me and a buddy. I got those prints and had a good time, man.
So if you're not aware, Derek Riggs isn't just a longtime artist. He was the creator
of Eddie.
Yeah. So
Edward T. Head is mm-hmm. his official title.
Yep.
Yep.
I actually wrote at least one paper in college about Derek Riggs.
Really?
Yeah. He was at least part of the paper. He wasn't like the thesis, but he showed up in at least one of the papers that I wrote in college.
That's pretty cool.
I
should have showed him that.
I don't even know if I could still find a copy of it anywhere, but no, I always tried to. My degree is in fine art. Got to do a lot of art history and you know, kind of analytical looking at the history of artwork and communication design, that kind of stuff. And I always tried to make it a point whenever I could to shoehorn in some like heavy metal or comic artist or something. I actually did a whole paper on the cover of I Start Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Nice.
I did a whole paper on it. Yeah, about
Greg Capullo would be happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, I did a paper back in the day in junior high. I don't remember what class it was. I was thinking social studies or something like that, about how creeping deaths, how metal bands were taking historical elements and putting them into music for new generations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I focused on Creeping Deaths because it was a story of Passover, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's sort of cool.
Yeah.
I have no idea if I could even find that anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool. Have you seen other shows?
God, I'm trying to remember what I have seen in that gap. I feel like there was something else, but I'm having trouble. I saw a lot of shows this year, and they're all kind of starting to run together.
If you can't remember, it wasn't that good.
Well, I've seen shows. I'm just trying to remember when.
I'm excited. I'm going to a show this week.
Yeah.
And I printed up my tickets today. I bought these tickets in November of 2018.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this Thursday, by the time you hear this episode, I've probably already been to the show. So follow us on social media at Metal Geeks or at MSRcast. You can look at some of the photos and videos I'm going to probably post. But I have meet and greet tickets for the Annika Van Giersbergen and Amorphis and Delane. I'm not a fan of Delane. I'll say that right now. I've seen them live before when they opened up. I think Hammerfall played with them.
Okay.
I was like, okay, they are what they are. But anybody knows, listen to the show, I'm a huge Amorphis fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge Annika fan. And I'm so excited to meet her. I have everything ready to go to get autographed. I'm going to wear my Arion shirt. I'm going to get her to sign some Arion stuff, some her solo stuff, some Devin Townsend stuff. And
have you written out what you're going to say? Or
I'm probably going to be like Chris Farley.
Remember that time?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Remember that time you're on stage with Devin and... I don't know, man. I haven't even thought about what I'm going to say. I'm just going to probably just say how much I appreciate her music, you know? I'm probably going to get her to sign November's Doom, too, because I have that autograph from some of the guys in the band,
yeah.
And she was on one of their albums, and I don't want to bring too much, though, but Kim's going to be with me, so...
So you can mule things. Her up, then, huh?
I will.
Stuff to get signed.
Right. Because I hate to be that guy at a show... Here, can you sign all this shit?
Yeah.
It's like a stack of stuff. I hate to be that guy, but I probably will get her to sign. I'm going to get Amorphis to sign Queen of Time because I got the limited marbled version.
Yeah.
And I'll get her to sign that too. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited. And hopefully, from what I know, Amorphis is not headlining, but they're co-headlining. So they're playing the same length of set.
Okay.
But
so like them and Delane are switching nights or whatever,
I think
that kind of thing.
This night is going to be Delane headlining, so I get to.
Hey, lucky
early.
You!
I hope we'll find out. I haven't even looked at Amorphis set list. Truthfully, I need to do that. I always do that before a show is make a set list of what they're playing.
I have mixed feelings about doing that.
Do you?
Yeah, like sometimes I just want to be surprised, but. Sometimes I also
I've looked at Annika's set list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it. I know she does a Devin Townsend song. She does an Arion song. She does an Iron Maiden cover.
What?
Wasted Years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she does something from The Gathering. She does
say she has to do stuff from The Gathering.
Yeah. I think only one song, though.
Okay.
She does like a Kate Bush song.
Okay.
Which I don't really know that song. I've listened to it, but I'm excited. And she's only doing acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think she's actually playing maybe something from, maybe is it Ver or is it The Gentle Storm? I can't remember one of those two albums.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just her and an acoustic guitar playing in front of the crowd. Tickets are still $15. Yeah, it's Justin today bought a ticket.
Okay,
so I'm like, yeah, you have to come, dude. He's never seen Amorphis. I'm like,
oh yeah, he should go.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm excited. I don't know if any other shows are coming up. I think Death Angel's coming here in December.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
I want to go see Exhumed and Gate Creeper.
I listened to that new Gate Creeper album a couple days ago.
I did too.
I've only listened to it the one time.
Yeah, me too.
But it's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah. But what do you mean buzz? Buzz where? On the internet?
On the internet.
What the fuck is the internet?
Shit, I'm going to botch the line, so I'm not even going to try.
What the fuck's the internet? Speaking of, that's something, since we usually do What's Tickling Our Geek, and George isn't here today. Sorry, we forgot to mention that. Or maybe we did.
Everyone just assumed he was sitting here quietly, I'm sure.
Well, maybe we hadn't started talking about movies yet. I have tickets tomorrow for the Phasm version of Jane, Silent and Bob reboot at AMC.
Okay.
And then my wife bought me tickets for the second showing when they're going to be here at for the reboot road show, whatever they're called. So they're going to show the movie and they're going to do a Q&A afterwards.
Okay. Is the Phasm version different?
It's just the movie.
Okay.
It's just a premiere of the movie.
Okay.
And Thursday night, they're doing Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back and then Jane, Silent Bob reboot, but I'll be at the Amorphous show.
Right.
So.
Right.
So I'm excited. Speaking of movies, I saw a movie with George on his bachelor party in this is funny. In the middle of Sixth Street, there's a Alamo Draft House. He wanted to go see this movie. I wanted to go drinking. So I got my drink on real quick, drinking some whiskey, like $5 well shots, you know. Then we went to this movie. It was actually a pretty fun movie. It was called Cut of the Dead. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It's a Japanese zombie movie. But the first 15, 20 minutes of this movie are done in one long cut.
Nice.
So, okay. And I don't want to spoil too much if anybody wants to see it. So I believe it's playing on Shudder if you want to go watch it. But the rest of the movie, the tone of the movie really changes and it sort of becomes like this behind the scenes romp of how they made it. It turns into a really funny movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very different.
I'm not sure I follow what you mean by that.
Yes. You can't fathom how different it is. After this quick change, it's really good. I actually really liked it. It's got a lot of buzz behind it, too, on the internet. A lot of buzz on the internet.
What the fuck is
the fuck's the internet? Let's talk about your trip, dude.
Okay, so I don't even remember. The last, 2 months are, a blur. I have hardly stopped moving the whole time. But early last month, we were supposed to be going to Universal Studios.
Right.
I think we had talked about that here a bit.
In Florida.
Florida was getting hammered by tropical storms and hurricanes and on top of the normal Florida shit that they deal with down there.
Yeah.
And two days before we were supposed to leave.
Sorry, Brian. Sorry.
2 days before we were supposed to leave, we were looking at everything and we went, we bought the trip insurance. I think we might need to cash in on that. So we made the call 2 days before. And
so let me ask you a question. With trip insurance, do you get the full amount you paid?
You lose the insurance fee.
Okay.
But that's you worth it, get everything else back. So, which we were not aware at the time was actually an option. We thought it was going to be like a store credit sort of a deal where you just move your...
Yeah, to the next trip or something. Yeah.
We thought that was what we were just going to have to do. But when my wife called them to make a claim on the insurance, the woman she was talking to said something about a refund and she went, is that an option?
She's like, we'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take that. Thanks. Go. So they issued a refund, and then we were suddenly vacationless, but her dad had taken the time off work already, and the kids are expecting to go on a trip and, see beaches and do stuff. And almost as a joke, I said, well, why don't we just switch coasts and go to Disneyland instead? The next day, my wife comes in and she's like, okay, so here's the plan for
going. You texted me that day.
Yeah.
All right, so where did you stay? What kind of advice can you give me?
I did. I hit you up because you had recommended the hotel, which is where we ended up staying, walking distance from Disneyland.
It's a great hotel, isn't it?
It was nice. It was very pleasant. The people were great.
Free parking.
Yeah.
Free nice breakfast buffet.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
I mean,
we saw a lot of breakfast buffets that week.
Well, I'm sure you did.
That was one of the nicer ones for sure.
But I mean, comparative to some of the other hotels that are right across the street from Disneyland. You're going to get like a quick continental breakfast. You got to take that into account when you're budgeting your hotel too, because like for a family, what you was like five of you.
Yeah, we were five of us.
Paying for breakfast in the park would have been like another $100
easily. Easily, yeah. So yeah, she came in and she had the new game plan, and it was road trip across the American Southwest, which I used to do as a kid. My family actually did these road trips pretty regularly.
Mm. I never did.
And that was my going to Disneyland as a kid.
Okay. Were road trips
almost always preceded by this road trip through.
Did you go to Tombstone?
We went to Tombstone. We went to, on the way out, we went to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico.
Cool.
And then we went to Tombstone in Arizona. Carlsbad Caverns, I had been to when I was, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old. I can't remember exactly when it was that I was there. So it was kind of cool to get to go back and take my own kids there. It is truly awe-inspiring. It makes you feel small.
I've never been. I remember going to Carlsbad Caverns as a kid, but I was thinking about it. I've never been to the one that's near San Marcos in
Natural Springs, whatever
it's called. Because we were on that trip, I'm like, we drove by it. I'm like, oh, we should go there. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I didn't realize it was that close. So
yeah,
I'm
gonna have to have a weekend out of that. I haven't been to that one either. But we did the.
You tend to not to go to places close to you.
Yeah.
And go places far away, which is weird.
We did the. So if you when you go to Carlsbad Caverns, there's when you go, you basically drive up a mountain. And then there's the visitor center at the top. And you can either take an elevator down into the caverns, or you can take what they call the natural entrance. We opted for the natural entrance, and I am glad we did.
Yeah. Is it a climb down?
Or? It is a climb. It is long.
Yeah.
Like, it took us over an hour to get in the natural entrance.
Wow.
And that, 'cause you're just... You're walking in a giant cave, so, and you just start winding your way down into the earth.
How tight is the cave? Because I have I have a little bit of claustrophobia.
Nope.
Okay.
There's a couple of like very short sections where you get kind of tight. There was one place that I felt like I needed to duck my head. Other than that, it's wide open.
Because you know, you see when you need movies like, you know, Tomb Raider or Indiana Jones or something, and they go and they have to crawl into like this ledge inside like a cavern, and it's like super tight, and it's coming. I'm like, definitely.
There's none of that. There, okay. At least as far as the tourist accessible stuff.
Okay.
There's not. Everything is so big and wide open. It's that's what I was saying. It makes you feel small. If you put yourself in the mindset of the people who were exploring this stuff,
yeah,
like, 'cause you have the benefit of walking down a paved pathway with guardrails and artificial lighting.
Yeah.
It's like, God, I've been walking down this trail for a mile and a half assisted.
And they weren't able to pull their iPhones out to get a light.
Yeah. Like, but you think about, because there's actually, you can actually see a couple of places where there are tools left behind by people who were exploring these things 100 plus years ago. There's like this old rickety ladder made out of like sticks and twisted up wire that goes down into a lower level of the cavern that you can't get into, right? And it's like somebody got down this far on their own and then went, fuck it, let's build a ladder and go down there. Even fuck that.
Right.
Like, what the hell, man?
it's the same thing as, like, how do these people discover what food was edible?
Yeah.
You're like, you want to try it? No, not really. Is the thing growing on this cow patty? Do you think that looks good to eat? It's a mushroom. Would you want to try it? No. Not really. It grows on shit. I don't want to eat that. It's always that first person to discover something. It's always strange to me.
Well, and the thing that's interesting about that, too, is a lot of that documentation is the modern white Western account of discovering this stuff. But they know that the Native Americans were making use of these cave systems for hundreds, thousands of years beforehand. Like, could you even imagine living in that world? Like, and it makes me think of, 'cause if you haven't gleaned this from listening to the show in the past, I'm very interested in mythical symbolism and comparative religion and all of these different kind of spiritual concepts and things like that. Well, in a lot of mystery religions from the ancient world and in a lot of systems that are kind of derived from that, which includes a lot of shamanic cultures, a lot of old shamanic cultures, there was an emphasis on going into the earth as a initiatory ritual, that you go into the earth, and it was commonly associated with, it was a symbol for death, that you go into the earth and you die, you come out. And going through the caverns, thinking about,
like the shamans take, like they have those trips and stuff like that.
And like you would go into the earth, and I'm inside the earth, look, you know, and I can see stuff, and I'm going, you can feel the power of
that
symbol.
Did you feel good that you knew what a stalactite and a stalagmite was?
Sure.
Hey, kids, look, it's a
one
hanging from
the top. We got that in the visitor center before we went down. Yeah. So, nice. But I really had an appreciation for that symbolism in those ancient systems.
What'd your kids think about
because
it?
They thought it was really cool. They seemed to enjoy themselves. One of them couldn't hang. She actually got sick in the big room. They call it the big room at the, once you're in the caverns proper.
Yeah.
And so she had to go back out. But before that, everyone was having a wonderful time. It's very cool. Very cool place. So we did that. And then the next day, we drove into Arizona and went to Tombstone, which is just fucking weird. Tombstone's a weird place.
Did they do the recreation of the event?
We watched. Yeah, we went and saw a performance.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird, right?
It's very weird. It's a weird place.
Val Kilmer never showed up.
No. It's okay. When you went, did you see? There was. I can't remember exactly where it is. But there is a theater that shows an old film. It's like half an hour long. They show a film.
Yeah, I think so.
And in between sections of the film, the screen actually rolls up, and there's a diorama behind it.
Yes.
Did you? Okay. Yes. Seen this? We went and saw that, right? And it felt like, because this thing was built in the 50s, and you can tell, but it was kind of charming.
It's like old Disneyland.
It's exactly what we were thinking. Me and my wife were sitting there watching this, like, man, this is like an old Disney attraction, like an old Disneyland attraction here.
It's been at least 25 years since I've been there.
Well, and the other reason that we felt we had to go to the theater and watch the thing was because the movie part of it was narrated by Vincent Price.
Really?
And we were like, we have to watch this. We have to go watch this this weird Tombstone thing narrated by Vincent Price.
Okay.
And it was made like for this place.
Yeah. That's interesting.
The before they rolled on it, they had a guy come out and talked a little bit about the history of like what this thing is and why is it here and all this kind of stuff. And he talked about that in the early 60s when this was made, Vincent Price was the most recognized voice in,
I could see that.
In America. And so they got Vincent Price to give it that, you know, that credibility that celebrity power.
Who would be that voice now?
Fuck, I don't know.
Who would be, I know, Robin Williams at one point?
There's so many voices now, and there's so many channels for voices at this point. I don't know that if we, I don't even think that's culturally a similar concept anymore. I don't think we have a voice. You know, it's like,
we
mean.
We don't have a voice of the nation.
Not really. I don't think we need one. Personally,
no,
I think that's okay, but it was cool though. Yeah, that was fun. But yeah, Tombstone as a whole is very odd. It feels it's got a weird vibe to it because you can tell that the only reason that any of these people and any of this stuff is here is because some people got in a gunfight way back when, yeah. and they made movies about it.
Yep.
That's the only reason any of this stuff exists. It seems like 100% of the industry in Tombstone is Tombstone.
Yes.
That there's nothing else going on. It's a small town.
And they have pizza there, right?
I don't think I saw a single pizza
no
while
pizza.
I was there.
What?
Just a weird vibe.
Marketing
it felt very,
lying to me again.
It felt very roadside attraction.
Yeah.
Every little thing is a money grab. Which is funny to point out because I say this, you know, we're on our way to Disneyland where also every little thing is a money grab.
Every little thing is a money grab.
But the quality level is so, it was weird. It's just a weird vibe out there. Odd place. We found a little shop just off the beaten path. I can't remember the name of the shop off the top of my head because I'd like to give him a shout out. I'll see if I can find it. But we found an oddities shop there in Tombstone.
In Tombstone. Really?
Yeah. And when I say off the beaten path, I mean like half a block off the beaten path. Yeah. Like it's not – the town's not big enough for there to
be a beaten path. You've gone a block, you're out of town.
Yeah, exactly. No, and so, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went in there and they had like the room in the back with like, you know, the Fiji mermaid and the shrunken heads and all of the weird.
They had that shit in Disneyland in Austin on 6th Street. The Museum of the Oddities
or
something like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
I was like, I haven't been in there, but we were in the gift shop and they had this Haunted Mansion puzzle. Or not a puzzle, but a model from like the 60s.
Hmm.
And he pulled it down off the shelf. It was like a couple $100. Pulled it off the shelf and he opened the box and it was like nothing ever. It was like nothing in there. You had to paint everything to make it look. It was like just gray plastic.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow. Back in the day, you really had to work for your shit. Now it's like it has to be painted and all you have to do is stick it together. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool though.
That is cool. Yeah, this place had just most of your kind of standard weird oddity stuff. And then the front room, you know, they sold books and trinkets and incense and, you know, tarot cards and all that kind of stuff. Love that shit. And so we actually stayed and chatted with the owners for a while and it was fun. I really need to find the name of that place. But yeah, if you ever find yourself in Tombstone and you need something a little bit weird to cleanse your palate from all of the...
Is Tombstone not on Route 66, is it? Or nearby?
No. No.
I don't know why I was thinking that.
No, it's
that's
not.
More north.
Yeah, that is further north.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, it was cool. I enjoyed my day there, but I don't know
if you do it again.
If I do it again, weird to say.
Yeah,
but that's how I felt about it. Yeah.
So let's talk about your Disneyland trip.
So yeah, we split across out from there, drove into. California, went to Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Because we had promised our youngest daughter at the beginning of the year this year, she said that she wanted to go to like a real beach. And we told her that we would take her and that we were supposed to do that in Florida.
Show Lytha Beach? Lytha Beach?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went to Huntington Beach.
How was that?
They had a great time. I'm not a big beach fan. Which is weird because I really like being next to the ocean.
Yeah.
I love being next to the ocean, but the beach itself, I'm like, meh. I don't, it doesn't do much for me.
I like beaches, you know, when you go on a cruise and you go to like you pay for like an excursion to like a private beach and
mm-hmm.
they bring you drinks and stuff like that. I can deal with that. But when it's like a public beach, which is like Galveston or something, I'm just mm-hmm. like, eh.
Well, there was kind of nice because it was. Late in the season, mm-hmm. it was already getting kind of cool. There was nobody there, so we had as much beach to ourselves as we really wanted.
That's cool.
That was nice. Kids, you know, built sandcastles and played in the water and did all the beach stuff that they wanted to do. Had a great time. And then we went back to the hotel at your recommendation and. We did 2 days at Disneyland, and the third day we went to Disney California Adventure.
So when was the last time you were at Disneyland? I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember exactly, but I was probably maybe like 12 or 13 years old.
What about your wife?
She's never been.
She'd never been.
She told me that she had never been further west than San Antonio before this trip.
Crap.
So, like, this was all new to her.
And what about you? What about your in-law?
I felt like he had been seen some of this stuff before.
Have you ever been to Disneyland or anything?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
And I know your kids hadn't. So.
No, they hadn't been before either.
So what do they sing? I know you've taken them to Disney World many times, and you and your wife traveled to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
What was their experience when they first came into Disneyland?
My oldest, again, was primarily concerned with where Space Mountain was. And I'm pretty sure that's the first thing we did.
Wise, because that's the better Space Mountain.
Space Mountain.
With still hyperspace?
Yeah, because they
fucking love it.
Since they have opened the
Star Wars.
The Star Wars land, it's hyperspace mountain for the time being.
Which is amazing.
It was really cool. We ended up doing it probably four or five times.
Yeah. Us too.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Did you take advantage of the FastPass Plus on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did that.
It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Certainly saves a lot of time.
Do you have to pay for the kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone has. So what that is if you know Disney World FastPass system, they don't do that in California. They still have kind of the old school kiosk,
the paper kiosk type of thing.
But now they have the option that for a $15 fee per day, you basically are carrying your own kiosk around with you.
And it's worth it.
It is because that way
it's per person.
Yeah.
And so per person in your group,
right?
Doesn't everybody have to have it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. To make use of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was nice, though, because then you have the kiosk in your pocket. You don't have to actually physically go to the attraction and scan.
We were able to skirt system a little bit. It's like you get your first one, and then they were very lenient about when you could start booking your next Fast Pass.
Yeah.
There was times of the day we're like, okay, what do you want to do again? Because let's do Big Thunder again. Let's do Space Mountain again. Mm-hmm. It's just, you ran out of things to do over and over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, we were lucky. We were there at a pretty good time crowd wise. I don't think we ever waited for more than half an hour for anything. And anything that was going to be more than half an hour, we just didn't bother because it's like, why would we when we can just keep doing stuff with no wait? You know. As a result, there were a few things that we didn't do.
Like, but which ones?
Let's see. What did we not do? Didn't do Peter Pan.
Okay. There's always a line for Peter Pan. And it's not really... I know Disney purists love that ride. It's not worth waiting an hour and a half.
It's not. It's cool. I like it. But it's not worth...
An hour and a half for 2 minutes is not worth it to me.
So didn't do that. I can't remember. I'll have to look back.
Did you go to Mr. Toad?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Went on Mr. Toad. I kind of wanted...
The only Disney attraction where you actually go to hell.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see my family's reaction to the hell sequence, because I remembered the hell sequence. And it's so weird, too.
You die, you go to hell. You're like, what?
Yeah, because that's not in the movie.
No,
That whole hell sequence is not in the movie at all. Mm. I don't know where they decided that the Mr. Toad ride needed a hell scene, but I'm glad they did, I guess. Yeah, but we did a lot of the dark rides in Fantasyland. Didn't go into Toontown at all. We never even walked back there.
So you didn't do Roger Rabbit?
Mm-mm.
We just didn't even
go back there. We got to Small World.
So you didn't see people fighting each other, fist fighting?
No.
You saw that recently, right?
No.
The family got in trouble. They were fighting each other in Toontown at Disneyland.
I didn't see that.
Google that.
Okay.
If you're listening to this, Google family fighting in Disneyland. You'll see this, and this is the dredge of society. It's really bad.
Let's see. So, we'll talk about the Star Wars land here in a sec.
Yes. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We don't want Disney to sue us.
Okay.
I
did take your recommendation on the doctored up Dole Whip.
Yes.
And my wife ordered one
yep.
first, and they brought it out and gave it to her. And I was looking at it and going, I'm not seeing how this works together.
Right.
I'm just not. Like, I don't see how all of these pieces go together into a delicious dessert. But I ordered one, brought it out. That was one of the most amazing desserts ever. I don't know how all of those different elements work together, but they do.
We went to, if you go to Orange Leaf, they do have dull pineapple on serve there, mm-hmm. on soft serve. It tastes about 90% the same. We've attempted, okay, we need to recreate this recipe. We need to get Pocky Sticks and
the
crystallized hibiscus and the fruit. And it's not going to be the same, but...
It was really good.
It's the best thing at Disneyland right now.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm trying to. I need to like be looking through my.
I know you guys ate it.
Ate at the Blue Bayou.
Yeah,
that was a cool treat too. It was like everything about this trip, just worked out. It was one of those things where
it just worked.
Everything just worked the whole way out. It was really cool. And I'd eaten at the Blue Bayou once when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I had vague memories of it, but I remember really enjoying the ambiance.
It's cool because like it's like the Mexico Pavilion at Epcot.
Right.
The food is not good at the Mexico Pavilion, but
I liked the food at the Mexico Pavilion.
Attraction is going through it. And that's just like at Pirates, you see the beginning of the Pirates attraction floats next to the
Blue Bayou
and
restaurant.
That's the ambiance.
That's the charm of it.
The charm of it, yeah, the charm.
Is that you're on the bayou in Louisiana, and yeah, the boats for Pirates of the Caribbean ride by as you dine and all this kind of stuff. But, excuse me, I'd been there once when I was a kid. I remembered it fondly and was like, man, it'd be really cool to get to eat there again. I know it's expensive, but my father-in-law was like, let's do it. Let's go. You want to do it? Let's do it. That'll be like the special thing that we can do for you on this trip. That's fine. You know, so cool. We'll do that. So we called them about a reservation. And, you know, because the trip was planned so last minute,
yeah.
we knew it was a long shot. And they're like, oh, no, we're all booked up on reservations. So when we got there, we walked up to the counter
uh-huh.
and went, what about walk-ins? What are y'all doing on walk-ins? They said, well, we're not doing anything on walk-ins tonight, but we might have some spots open tomorrow night. So we came back the next night, walked up, said, hey, we're interested in a walk-in. What do you have? And they said, give us about 30 minutes. And 8 minutes later, we were sitting down
wow.
inside the Blue Bayou.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was really cool. It just worked out.
That's Disney magic for you.
So basically, here's what happened. We went up, put our name in. They told us to leave somebody behind to wait for the name to get called, and the rest of us can go walk around. And that was when I went and found the Club 33
oh.
door, because we were walking around
it's
the
like,
New,
yeah, it's
New
right,
Orleans
it's right
Square.
There.
It's right around the corner.
It used to be that alcove back there
mm-hmm.
used to be bigger. Where the stair, there used to be like a stairway you
yeah.
can hang out on. Now that's actually behind
right.
Club 33.
Right.
Like, yeah, there used to be a lot more. Now it's more... I'm going to get there one day.
Yeah. We basically got as far as the door to Club 33
yeah.
and then we got the call and it's like, "Hey, they're calling us. Time to go sit down." And
wow.
so we went in and I ate amazing lamb chops. Mm. Yeah. The food was really good.
Good thing you didn't get the what's it called? The fried sandwich with the
Monte Cristo.
Can't imagine eating one of those and then walking around the park all day after that. It's like, oh god, does not sound like a good time.
I made the right no the lamb the lamb
yeah.
was a good choice.
You made a good choice. What did the kids get?
Some like, you know, chicken and french fries bullshit or something like that. I'm sure. I don't remember exactly what they
chicken
got.
Fingers
gets them by. I think my oldest did something a little bit more adventurous. The little one, not so much. She's
yeah.
not adventurous at all when it comes to that stuff.
Let's talk about Galaxy's Edge.
I went.
Yes.
I
know. And if people can't see, I am holding a finger up to you.
And so this is
I want your honest opinion.
It is the coolest themed land I've ever been to. Everything is super cool. The details are amazing. Just getting to walk around and go walk through the bazaar.
Yeah.
We went back at night.
Yeah.
Walked through Galaxy's Edge at night.
I've heard that.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. The bazaar, they have all these weird lanterns and stuff hanging as you walk through all these shops and everything. And they've got... I know you've seen the videos of, they have, I don't remember what the name of the eatery is, but they have one of the counter service places and,
The Rancho Roaster or the Donkey Bay 7 or something like that?
No, it's the roaster because they've got the big jets that are roasting
the what are they called from the movie? When they had I can't think of what it's called now. The, episode one.
I don't remember what they're called either.
Fuck. I'm having a brain fart on Star Wars right now.
But yeah, that whole scene is super cool, though, because you've got the droid who's out there like running the spit while the engine is roasting all of the meat around it and all the sounds and the lights and everything. They have the...
pod racers.
The ships out there. It's a pod racer engine. Those are all over at Galaxy's Edge. There's pod racer engines like stuck to all kinds of stuff doing things. Of course, there's the Smuggler's Run with the Millennium Falcon sitting outside. There's another pod racer engine inside the line queue and it fires up and does stuff.
My buddy Ryan Street, who does the I Am Geek podcast, just went to Florida and brought me back one of the Funko Pops from Smuggler's Run for what's his name? Why am I having brain farts on the scene tonight? Tanaka, what's his name? The main
Hondo.
Hondo, thank you, Hondo Tanaka, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Funko Pop from that.
Okay. So, the Hondo animatronic is the coolest animatronic I've ever seen.
I've seen video
it's
of it.
Incredible. It is super lifelike. It walks around up on the ledge that it's standing on. The movement's very natural.
Real quick, I know you're going to talk about California Adventure, but did you go on Guardian of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an animatronic of Rocket when you were there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every time I rode that when I was there, it was in B mode. So all you saw was a video. There was no animatronic. I was so disappointed.
That's really weird because I don't understand how they set up the ride without the animatronic.
They do it on video.
Okay.
They have that video screen.
Okay.
They just play.
So instead of him interrupting by coming into the room, he interrupts by cutting the feed.
That's correct.
Weird.
Yeah, okay. I was really disappointed.
Okay.
I'm like, is it down for good? And then, like, I saw people posting, like, a couple days after we're gone. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. No, it was in full operation
when
we were there. But, the Hondo animatronic, rad as hell. We did Smuggler's Run twice. And it wasn't until the second time through that I noticed this. One of the things that I thought about was, okay, so... The story here is that Hondo has somehow convinced Chewbacca to let him use the Millennium Falcon
to
make this run, and you're the crew who's going to pilot it for that mission. Well, when you're in that big room where he's addressing you for the first time and is telling you what's going on, I'm standing there going, okay, but the Millennium Falcon is parked outside behind me, but I'm about to get in the Millennium Falcon behind Hondo. How does that work? And they have like the video window behind him, and it flies in.
Right.
But one of the things that I didn't catch until the second time through is that one of his readout screens that's next to him, if you watch it, it looks like a animated blueprint schematic of the building.
Yeah.
Where you see the Falcon parked outside the hangar. While he's talking, it gets up and flies around to the back. And as it flies around to the back, that's when it comes in view behind Hondo.
Oh.
And I went, they thought of it. Like, they figured out how to make that work.
Wow.
Super cool. And the details were awesome.
How's the ride, though? I mean,
The experience as a whole.
I've seen people's videos
was
of it many
really
times.
The experience as a whole, meaning like walking up to it, going through the queue, doing the ride itself, leaving everything. Awesome. The whole experience, really, really cool. The ride by itself is okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
But as a whole, it's better.
The experience as a whole is awesome.
Did you get to pilot at all?
Yeah. We did it twice. The first time, my wife and I were gunners. One of my complaints was that I didn't feel like they explained very well what I was supposed to be doing as the gunner. Because you're sitting looking forward to the front of the cockpit, and you've got three buttons on the wall next to you that you're supposed to hit. But like, I wasn't clear on what are the buttons doing exactly, and it took me half the ride to figure out, oh, okay, so this button's doing this and this button's doing that. There's not like they didn't put like a schematic next to it to be like, push this for this thing.
Yeah.
You know, none of that. It just kind of, you figure it out on your own. The second time we went through, my wife and I piloted, which is weird because one person does the lateral movement and the other person does the
vertical,
up and down
yeah.
movement. And so you have to coordinate your...
That's crazy.
It's hard.
Can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, by the way. You were able to pick me up a Diet Coke thermal detonator.
I did. Got you thermal detonator.
You got it through TSA. You didn't have to go to TSA.
I circumvented TSA.
You did.
Which, if they heard me say that, they would be very offended. I didn't go to an airport. Let's put it that way.
That's correct. So you drove it.
That's how I circumvented
you
TSA.
You drove the thermal detonator back to Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I got myself the set.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Yeah. That was my... Galaxy.
I don't know if I'm
going to
open it.
I don't think I'm ever going to open mine, but I got the...
If I go there, I will probably buy one and drink it, but...
Yeah.
Which I plan to. We're in serious talks, maybe going for like a long weekend after Rise of the Resistance opens up.
Okay.
Because there's no point to go before then, and it opens up in December, so
okay.
If I go in January-ish, won't be that bad. It'll be cool outside,
mm-hmm.
go for a long weekend... I know we're going to have to wait in line a long time, but at this point I'm prepared for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I want to do that, and I want to do Avatar, which I haven't done that yet. And maybe Epcot. And then Magic Kingdom. So that long weekend's turning into a week.
That's turning in, yeah.
But we'll figure that out later.
The logistics will work themselves out.
It's always hard. Like, how can you go to Disney World and not go on the Haunted Mansion or, you know?
Yeah. Well, and speaking of, I got to see the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, the overlay. That's right.
Of the Haunted Mansion, which I've never seen before.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Really amazing.
Yeah.
Way more amazing than I expected. Because I was kind of under the impression it was like, it's the Haunted Mansion with some Nightmare stuff kind of thrown.
Right.
It is not.
No, it's
they completely
total...
redo the ride.
Yeah.
To a degree that's really, really impressive. The whole thing is redone as a Nightmare Before Christmas story.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. We did that one probably 3 or 4 times.
It's weird. I'm sort of, at this point in my life, I'm sort of getting over the whole Nightmare Before Christmas aesthetic and the whole vibe of it because it got so popular, you know? But, I mean, I still enjoy the movie and I still enjoy that type of stuff. It's just overkill sometimes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that was very cool. Glad to see that.
How many times did you ride that?
3 or 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to catch all the details. Yeah. There's so much cool stuff going on in there. I thought that it was cool that they completely replaced the, I mean, this is just an example because there was tons of stuff like this, but that they completely replaced the, like the groundskeeper outside the cemetery.
It's Jack. Yeah.
Like he's gone. And instead, it's Jack and Zero.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit.
And
like,
the stretching room, it's a completely different story.
Yeah.
And like the digital version of Jack's head, why did they do that with everything, you know? It's really cool.
Yeah. Very cool, Ryan. It was right outside
there. The Oogie Boogie animatronic is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was right outside there that my wife scammed them for a annual pass holder popcorn bucket.
Oh yeah. How'd that happen?
So they had the Oogie Boogie head popcorn buckets, which were like the standard themed popcorn buckets. Then they had the AP popcorn buckets, which is a bubbling cauldron. It's got like the purple stuff spilling out over it that makes a skull on the side. And the cauldron, when you close it, you can actually make it light up and it looks like the cauldron's bubbling.
That's cool.
Right. My wife wanted one. She's like, those are rad. I want one. So we got in line and we're almost to the front of the line. I said, I think those are annual pass holder exclusives. And so she goes, okay. And so she just walked up and ordered one.
Yeah.
Okay. The girl starts filling it up. Right. And she goes, okay, I just need to see your AP. And she goes, what's an AP? And it's an annual pass holder.
Oh, she said that?
Yeah.
Oh.
She goes, what's an AP? And the girl goes, to your annual pass holder? She goes, oh, I don't have one of those.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, okay, well, it's an annual pass holder thing only. But she already filled it up.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm just going to ring it up as a regular one. She goes, you won't be able to get refills on it. But
nice.
And so she got it.
I would have lied. I'd been like, oh, I don't have it on me, but I have one.
So that's how we... So stick it to the man a little bit at Disneyland.
She's like, you need your AP. She's like, what the fuck is an AP?
Yeah.
I just want to buy this shit, man.
Right. Like, do you want the money or don't you? she just rung up as one of the regular ones.
So what did you think of California Adventure?
I really enjoyed it. The most impressive single moment for me was coming around Grizzly Peak to the boardwalk when the view opens up and
you went that direction.
Yeah, we went that way.
Okay.
And turning that corner and then, oh my God, like the view is incredible when you make that turn.
Especially
like as a first time, I've not seen this in person before. Holy crap, turning and seeing the Ferris wheel and...
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been there when... I went to California Adventure maybe a year or so after it opened.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done to it now, it's probably 1,000 times better than it was. And it was an okay park before. Now it's a great park.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing with the Marvel area that's coming up, I can't wait for that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's even like the boardwalk area, now it's Pixar Pier and everything. Mm-hmm. Even just a slight change to a little bit of everything, like the Incredicoaster used to be California Screamin'.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done to it, it's so small in what they've done, but it makes it into a narrative roller coaster. It's really cool.
So now it's the Incredicoaster. It's the Incredibles themed, and it's very simply, it's a roller coaster, and you're like trying to catch Jack-Jack.
Yeah,
that's really what the gist of it is, that Jack-Jack's gotten loose and everyone's trying to catch him.
Yep.
But even it's stuff like when the coaster takes off, because it's one of those, like it loads you into position. Yep. Like you get in it and then it moves you out of the loading station and then it stops.
Onto the water, basically.
And it stops you on the water.
Yeah.
And then it launches you, maglev kind of stuff.
Yep.
And as you do that, Dash is supposed to be next to you running across the surface of the water,
and the
water's
footprint
popping up like he's running next to you. And it's just all those little details all the way
through. Before it was Neil Patrick Harris giving you a countdown.
That's not nearly as fun.
No. I mean,
I don't have a problem with
NPH.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't have a problem with NPH, but that's just not nearly as fun. Great roller coaster too.
It is.
It's a phenomenal coaster, and I wrote it twice. And I was thinking about it a little bit more on the design side the second time through. It's long.
Yeah. Oh, super
long. The footprint of it is very, very wide. So there's very little in the way of really sharp turns. Yeah. All of the turns are very smooth.
And banked.
And
Nice banked turn.
Yes, very much so.
The loop is it's great. Everything about that's one of my favorite coasters, not just a Disney coaster, but one of my favorite coasters.
It was really good. I texted you as soon as I got off of it. I was like, Incredicoaster A+.
Yeah.
It was really good. Really good ride.
They took a great ride and made it even better, I think, in my opinion. I'm sure there's some ride attractions you didn't do because they have them in Florida. Like, did you do Toy Story Mania and all
I've
that?
Never done Toy Story Mania anywhere.
Really?
Yeah, because the line's always ridiculous.
It's true.
And it was that way.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I did Guardians of the Galaxy twice. And yes, the rocket animatronic worked both times.
Nice.
I didn't see it the first time, though, because I loaded into the wrong part of the room. Because we were, like, first by the door. And I went too far to the other side of the room, and I could barely see it
Did you do Radiator Springs, the racers?
Yeah, we did that. Unfortunately, okay. We spent very little time in Cars Land. We got our fast pass for the Radiator Springs racers, but because of the way that it worked out, that was like the one fast pass we got all day.
Oh, wow.
Because we claimed it in the morning, but it wasn't coming due until the afternoon.
Oh, man.
So we just had to sit on it through the whole day. So by the time it rolled around, we'd already done most everything else that we were going to do.
It's a good attraction.
It was really cool.
And I don't really like cars.
Yeah.
I don't like the movies. But I love just the environment and the interactivity of that area and how they've really recreated it. It's pretty amazing.
It is very cool. Very cool. I'm disappointed that we had to blow through it like we did.
Yeah.
And because we really did. We cut straight down that main road to the back where the ride is. We came back a little bit more slowly. We did the Luigi, the dancing cars.
We didn't do that this time.
It's cute. It was fun.
We always eat at the Flo's V8. We did breakfast there, and then we always sit on the side and just watch the cars go by.
Okay.
And watch the attraction go by.
I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Yeah. The breakfast actually is pretty good there.
And the Radiator Springs Racers ride is fairly long, too. It's a fairly long ride. It's a good mix between a thrill ride and...
Much better than Test Track.
Yeah, it is.
It's the same damn ride.
I don't think it ever gets quite as fast as Test Track does.
No, maybe not.
But it's essentially the same ride technology.
Yep.
But very cool.
Soarin'? Did you do Soarin'?
We did Soarin'. That's why we turned the Grizzly Peak.
Was it Soarin' over California or the Soarin' over the world?
Soarin' over the world.
Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently they brought Soarin' over California back for like a month or something like that.
I thought they... See, I was expecting to see Soarin' over California.
Yeah. I don't like the new Soarin'. It's just... It's too digitally fake for me.
Yeah.
And you can see...
All the transitions.
The transitions are weird. And then you could see... I don't know. A lot of it, they didn't film in real places. You can tell.
And you can tell. That's what really got me. Because I've seen Soarin' over the world in Florida.
And there's like a warp.
But I noticed it way more.
If you're not sitting straight in the middle, there's like a warp effect, too, on the screen.
Yeah.
On this new one. The old one didn't have that.
Yeah. There is. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't notice it so much in Florida, but I really noticed it in California none of this is actually this place.
And I missed the orange smell.
Yeah.
That's an old school Epcot thing.
There was one shot in particular that I was like, none of this shot is real.
The Taj Mahal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. Yep. That's right. Yeah. The entire Taj Mahal sequence looks totally fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, it really took me out of it, man.
I agree.
It did, though. a little bit disappointed by my Soarin' experience. I like that ride, and I like the Patrick Warburton intro
I still love Warburton. You're a Soarin' because you wrote it? You're just a little Soarin' on it?
A little sore.
It's a great park. I mean, it's not huge or anything, but there's a lot of great attractions there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do the Little Mermaid attraction?
Yes.
Always fun for some reason.
Yeah. It's the same one in Florida.
Yeah. But I rode the one in California way before the one in Florida.
The only thing that's different about them is the queue.
Mm-hmm. The queue is different.
But they're cool in both. The queue is nice in a different way, both places. What else? We did a bunch of the little Pixar Pier rides, the little carnival rides and stuff like that.
You did the new Inside Out attraction?
I didn't.
Emotional Whirlwind?
Emotional Whirlwind.
Was it open when I was there earlier?
I didn't do that one. That's right. My littlest went on that one, which was totally appropriate because she was being an emotional whirlwind that day. That seemed like the most appropriate place for her to be at the time. That was actually when I went on the Incredicoaster for the first time. My youngest went on that on the Inside Out one. I took the older girl to go do the roller coaster. So, I saw the Coco marionette puppet.
Oh yeah,
thing,
which is gone now.
Already?
Yeah.
Like, it was just there. I just saw
Disneyland has cut a bunch of the
performers.
The performers in parks and stuff like that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I love about Disneyland. There's so many performers, but...
Yeah, one of the other things that impressed me... I'll get to that in a second. One of the other things that I got to experience was in the evenings, we'd go to Downtown Disney, get something to eat, something like that. My wife and I walked across to the Disneyland Hotel, and we would just go like hang out by the Disneyland Hotel. Because you can just walk in there and just go in.
Oh,
I've never been in there, and so it was just cool just to get to go walk around and see it.
I liked the Disneyland Hotel. Did
that a few times. That was cool.
I hung out with Paul Berry.
We
always hang out at the Disneyland Hotel because we don't have to go in the park and all that kind of stuff. We always go to Trader Sam's and get some drinks, and then the restaurant that's right next to it, I can't think of the name right now, but it's available. You can do mobile ordering. That's what we did one time.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, you know what? It was our last day in the park. I want to go outside. I want to go eat. They have an amazing like pineapple burger there, and really good shit. I can't think of the name of it. I have to look it up.
Okay.
But yeah, I just love hanging out there, man.
Yeah. Well, and so one of the things that really impressed me about Disneyland versus Disney World is they both have the cultures around them are a little bit unique.
Mm.
One of the things that I really got from Disneyland...
Tangaroa Terrace is the name of the restaurant.
Right. Yeah. That's where I got the... That's the one in Adventureland, right?
No. Tangaroa Terrace is...
That's the one in the hotel.
In the hotel.
Okay.
Next to Trader Sam's.
Okay. But the Disneyland fans versus like the Disney World fans.
Yes.
It's like it's totally different.
There's cultures and there's clubs. And
yeah.
I told Kim when we were there, I'm like, I want to join a Disneyland club.
I told my wife the same thing.
get a different battle jacket.
Get a cut and all that.
Yeah.
But even not just that stuff, but just like watching people watching. It seemed like in California, there was a lot more of, I'm totally into this. Look at all of my accessories. Look at all of my, you know, I've got the t-shirt and the hat and
I'm a Disney fan.
And yeah. And everything was very done up, in a way that doesn't really happen in Florida the same way.
Disneyland is a local park.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of tourists that come there.
For sure.
But Florida, it's a tourist area.
Right.
There's not a lot of locals that go daily,
mm-hmm.
like Disneyland is.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest difference, I think.
And that's where that, I think, really shows up is in that stuff.
Yeah,
for
sure.
The people who go several times a week, you can tell that they're here all the time.
Yeah.
They just you don't even have to talk to them. They just read that way.
Let's go hang out there on the weekend.
Yeah.
I would.
I would, too. I don't know if I'm looking through my photos now. I don't know if I told you about this one, but they had some of the Haunted Mansion and Museum of the Weird concept art up.
That is cool. They did not have that when I was there.
We went through that. That was really
Where was
cool.
that at?
It was in the...
Mr. Lincoln?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in that...
When we were there, it was still Aladdin stuff from the movie.
Oh, well, that's a bummer.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, this was way cooler than whatever
like
you saw. But the other thing about that is we were already there, and so I did Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, which I've never seen
Which
before.
Was not open when I was there. It was actually a preview of Aladdin.
That's also lame.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Lincoln's it's great.
It was very cool. It was cool to see it just as like a part of Disney history.
Did you do the Jungle
Cruise?
Part
of American history. Did the Jungle Cruise? Yeah.
Let me ask you this: did you see the trailer for the new movie?
I begrudgingly kind of like it.
I do too. I like how I love The Rock. He's one of my.
I do too. How do you not?
He's so charismatic. Speaking of, I just finished the last episode of Ballers, which I didn't realize going into the season it was going to be the last season.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's completely over now. And the last episode that came out Sunday was the last episode ever. And I think they ended the series the way it should have. But yeah, I love the way they made The Rock like sort of like a scam artist. And that's how they got some of the stuff in from the attraction, like the backside of water and stuff. That was pretty great.
I think that element is kind of the only thing that's making me go, okay, this might be all right, is that they made he's a scam artist, scamming people on this.
It was the Aborigines there and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this just from the trailer, it gives me a feeling. I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to be like Pirates, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to.
I don't know about that.
It's going to do pretty well for them, though. It's not a Haunted Mansion, or I don't know. I have a good feeling about this movie that's going to do well for them until they decide to put The Rock into Dwayne Johnson, whatever. Put Dwayne Johnson into the Jungle Cruise attraction.
Ooh, they can't. They shouldn't do that.
They
shouldn't do that.
Depends on how well this movie does.
Let me ask you a question. I was looking through my photos and I saw this thing. the Indiana Jones adventure, mm-hmm. is it basically in permanent B-mode at this point?
B-mode. What didn't you see?
We wrote it three times, and it was the exact same sequence of events every time.
Oh, you mean we're going to the three?
Yeah.
I think so.
That's bullshit. Because
back in the day, there used to
when it opened.
Yeah, you used to go off to the side or the front.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's three rooms, or they're not really rooms. They're just three directions.
Three paths.
But it all ultimately goes back to the same path.
The same central room. But even the central room, there's different alcoves of that would change. Like, even the central room would change up.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I was there when they opened it. I used to have one of the cards that had all the little key card that had all of the
translations and stuff like that. Yeah.
I wish I still had that. I have no idea what happened to it. But that was one of the things that was cool about it. And then we went on it. Like I said, we went three times, and it was the exact same sequence of events each time. And I went...
It's still a great attraction.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. But I was disappointed by that.
You had your hopes up.
I did. Because I remembered it. I remember going through all the different rooms.
I got B-mode on Guardian, so...
Yeah.
We all get B-mode on Expedition Everest, so... Very cool, man. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad the kids had a good time. I love Disneyland. When I think about between Disneyland and Disney World, there's such a charm and just something about the Disneyland resort, the park itself, knowing that, that Disney had a hand in everything,
mm-hmm.
it makes it so much more special. And right now I think I don't know. I can't say that I enjoy it more, but it's a little bit better than Disney World for me right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to compare because they are different.
They are very different, so it's hard for me. I don't think I could make that call.
But I love Disneyland. There's something about it. It's just so magical. You don't really get that in Florida as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You have a great time. You have a ball, but some of the magic is gone there.
More good food in Florida.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot more restaurants, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More options.
I think the fast food, the quick service is better in Disneyland. Did you go to the Bengal Barbecue right by Indiana Jones?
No.
The skewers and stuff?
No.
Oh, they're really good, too.
I smelled it several times.
Yeah.
And went, we might want to come back by this place.
Delicious.
We never did.
Yeah. Very cool, man. You want to talk about some metal?
Let's talk about some metal.
Want to talk about this whole Rob Flynn thing?
You go right ahead. My opinions on Rob Flynn are the same as they've always been.
I was excited to hear that. I didn't read the entire article. I skimmed it over, but I was excited to hear that they're doing a Burn My Eyes reunion tour, basically, with Logan Mader and Chris Kontos. And I love that first Machine Head album from like 94.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really been a big fan in like the past 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is they put an album out and the fans didn't like it or something, or put a song out and the fans didn't like it. So he became a whiny baby and bitched on social media.
Yeah.
I think fuck you, dude.
The gist of it was they were saying that like part of the song was ripped off some dope song from 2001.
Oy.
That was what the complaint was, and so he got sand in his britches about that one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't. You sent that to me earlier. I read the article and was trying to understand what the hell any of this meant, but I told you then. I tried, but I still don't care what Rob Flynn has to say about anything. I just don't.
Yeah, I can see that. The other article I wanted to talk about, it's from Metal Sucks, and I don't really want to give them too much promotion.
Let's not.
Because, Metal Sucks does suck.
Yeah.
Very opinionated and shit, but they put out a list of their top 25 best metal albums from 2010 to 2019, right?
Mm-hmm. I have the list pulled up. I have not looked at it yet.
All right, let's take a
look. Per your request.
Yes, let's take a look through it now.
Okay.
Some of them I do agree with. Some of them I don't.
Okay.
But I have a much more varied look on metal than it looks like what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a lot of it, too. You know what I mean? There's like no power metal. There's no really thrash metal. It's all sort of black or post-metal type stuff, you know what I mean?
This is a weird list.
Yeah. So let's go through it. Cult of Luna and Julie Christmas, 25. 24, Triptychon.
Cult of Luna wouldn't be on any list I made ever.
Me either. But that's just me. That's us.
Yeah. That's fair.
The 2010 release from Triptychon is number 24. I can see that.
Do I know this album? Maybe.
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. I'm looking it up real quick.
Let's. While you're looking that up, we'll move on. Pig Destroyer at 23. 2014's Clearing the Path to Ascend from Yob.
That's a good album.
It is. I don't know if it's the best 25 albums of the past 10 years, though. But it's good.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Dahlia Murder, Ritual. 21. Number 20 is Mastodon, Once More Around the Sun. Not my favorite Mastodon album, for sure. I like them. I'm not a huge fan like a lot of people do. At the Gate, At War with Reality. 2012.
It's not going on my list either.
I prefer the album that came out last year to this
one. I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 18 is Meshuggah, Kolos. You know what I feel about Meshuggah. I'm not a huge fan of them.
They're one that, like, I can take in
chunks.
They're
a one-trick pony, in my opinion.
I was actually listening to some Meshuggah when I was out working on my shop a couple weeks ago. Just got in a mood. I was like, I'll do some Meshuggah. And it's like I can listen to them for a little while, and it's fun. I enjoy it. But then it does kind of burn out quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I can see how they're an influence, and I can see all that good stuff. And I'm not talking negative about them. I'm just not a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 17, Gorguts, Colored Sands. I don't know if we met 25, but that's a really good fucking album.
Good.
Between the Buried and Me, the Parallax 2 Future Sequence. I like Between the Buried and Me a lot. They don't get enough credit for what they do for metal. But I don't know if I would put this in my number 25. Maybe a different album from them, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I have mixed feelings on Between the Buried and Me. I feel like when they're on and good, they're really good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of not great in between that.
I could see where you would think that.
I've told you where their name comes from, right?
Maybe.
Their name comes from a Counting Crows song.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. You should love them then.
I should.
Just on that fact alone.
Yeah.
Number 15, The Ocean, Plagueial. Number 14, Kvartalak. Self-titled Kvartalak, which it's a great album.
Mm-hmm.
Very post-metal type stuff, you know. Number 13, Judas Priest, Firepower. First one I can really agree on.
Yeah.
Firepower was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Metallica, Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Really, though?
You lost me here. One of the top 25 albums of the past 10 years?
There's no. Not even close. Like,
not even the top 100 albums of the past 10 years.
No, there have been... No. And, like, this is the best thing Metallica's put out in a long time. But...
That's not saying too much,
too. That's not saying a whole lot.
They lost me here.
Definitely not a number 12.
Converge, All We Love, We Leave Behind. I gotta admit, I'm not a big Converge guy. I don't really know a lot about
him. Me neither.
So.
I don't know much.
Dillinger Escape Plan, One of Us is the Killer, is number 10. River of the Nile is number 9, Where Owls Know My Name. I can see that. I mean,
you know what? For a Metal Sucks list, one makes sense. that is not me shit talking this album at all. It's a great album. It really is. Is it number 9 of the last decade? No. It's not. But
number 8 is Death Haven, Sunbather.
I know you loathe Death Haven.
I listened to something new they put out this year and it was better, but I still don't get them. They feel like they're trying too hard to be something they're not.
My problem with Death Haven isn't so much Death Haven themselves. It's kind of everything around them.
Yeah.
They're, because I enjoy black gaze and post black metal, and I like that stuff.
I can get into some of it.
I feel like there are so many other bands who are doing what Death Haven does
better,
way better. Death Haven's fine. I can listen to them and it's okay. Some of it's pretty good.
I saw them live.
I just feel like their accolades are unwarranted.
I can definitely see that. Number 7 is Baroness, Yellow and Green. Number 7, maybe not, but those are really good albums. I couldn't get into the new album that came out this past year. It was just okay.
Yeah, I think that was the one I had trouble with as well.
Power Trip, Nightmare Logic. I can agree on this one. Maybe not number 6 for me, but it's on my list. Number 5 is Ghost, Opus Eponymous.
That's an odd choice.
Which one would you put?
Infestissimum, I think, is a stronger album.
Yeah, but didn't Opus have more of the hits, so to say? Not in entirety. Like, don't look at like the album in its entirety, but like more hits from that album. I don't know.
I don't think so.
We're looking it up.
I am right now. Because I mean, there's some good stuff. I mean, I like the album. Don't get me wrong, but hang on. Infestissimum has some of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like Zombie Queen and
But that's an opinion for you though.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you look at the track listing on I don't know. Yeah, you might be right.
Infestissimum is a better album.
Yeah.
It just is.
And they didn't really start getting really super popular until like Meloria.
That's the one I was able to make sense of them. The Meliora album is what made their whole thing click.
So I would replace Opus Eponymous with Meliora.
Yeah.
It makes more sense because that's the album where their hit started coming, you know, and people really started getting into them.
Yeah.
That's the album you told me one day, you should listen to Ghost again. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I listened to that album on the way home and I was a fan by the time I got home.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
Number 4, Deftones, Diamond Eyes. Can't tell you I've ever listened to this album.
Deftones is never making any list of mine.
Me either. Number 3, Behemoth, The Satanist. I can agree on this one.
So Justin said that this was too low for this album in his...
too low?
Yeah.
He'd be number 1 for him, probably.
It would be close for me.
Yeah?
This is a masterwork of an album.
It is. Number 2, Carcass, Surgical Steel. I agree that it should be on this list, but not number 2. I would put it probably closer to number 5.
Okay.
And number 1, another band I'm not really that big of a fan of, Gojira.
I'm not a big fan either. However, this album is
a good album. I do agree on that. But I haven't gone back to it.
I actually listened to it again last week.
Did you?
Oddly enough. Oh. I actually, I don't know why. I think it was maybe the same day I was listening to Meshuggah because I was out working on my shop. And I just got an
inkling. Wanted to hear some trendy metal?
I don't remember what spurred it, but I was like, I'm going to listen to that Gojira album again. I haven't listened to it in a while. But it's a good album. Best album of the last decade? No.
What would you put there? I mean, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but...
You are. The Satanist would be a contender. I don't know if I would say it's hands down the winner. Man, I don't know.
I mean, for me, there's no, you know, there. Well, Anthrax hasn't put out the best album in the past 10 years, but there's no power metal. There's no Devin Townsend, number one. There's no prog stuff on here. It's all very limited.
It's not really any like thrash or anything. No thrash either, really.
Yeah, I would have to. I think a project we should do for MSRcast as a team is come up with our list of our favorite albums of the past 10 years.
Okay.
I'd have to
do some digging.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's something that's not going to be easy for us to come up with, but I think that would be a fun project.
Let's do that.
Even if we talk about it on here too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, as we talk shit about different websites, I'd like to remind people where they can find us. we're in a little bit of a transitional period with our web right now. If you want to find us on the web, on the internet, go to msrcast.com at the moment. We lost one of our we lost metalgeeks.net, and I haven't made a decision if I want to pay the full amount to bring it back or if I just get a new domain. I'm not going to say the domain yet because I don't want people to snipe it from me.
Right.
But something might be coming up in the future because basically it's this. All it is a URL redirect for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to msrcast.com to get to all of our stuff right now, or msrcast.wordpress.com. Same thing. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Give us a great review. Let people know about the show that you're listening. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us all the places where you download your favorite podcast. You can find us on the ESONetwork.com, and then you can find us, of course, on their feed on iTunes and all those places. All the shows that make up the ESO Network are together in one feed. It's pretty cool if you just want to check out a bunch of great geeky podcasts. At Metal Geeks on the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Am I forgetting anything?
I don't know.
Okay. What about you? Where can they find you?
They can find me at booth F12 at the Texas Renaissance Festival for the next 2 months. If you're heading out that way.
And if you are listening to the show and you've never been to TRF, to the Texas Renaissance Festival, it's a blast.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun.
Go out there, visit with Brutal Dave. You get to hear his cool accent. And buy some killer artwork from him. Yeah.
Yeah, I put on a quality Scottish accent for the show. So it got the approval of an actual Scot.
Really?
So yeah, it did. So
very cool.
Fair enough.
We need to try to plan to go out for a weekend one day this year. It's the past 2 or 3 years we've gone every year, and it's a blast. What about your social media?
Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and occasionally Pinterest. I'll sometimes post artwork on Pinterest.
Very cool.
Yeah, those are the places.
So, as always, we like to say at the very end of our shows, keep it
metal.
Keep it metal.
Keep it geeky.
Keep it geeky. Thank you guys for checking us out. Again, we will see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Hey, gang, do you need another podcast to listen to? Well, might I suggest my podcast? My name is Richard T. Yule, a.k.a. at Nerdy Laser on Instagram and Twitter, and I host the Nerdy Laser Podcast. We specialize in all things 90s and all things nerdy. We are a part of the ESO Network, so visit us at esonetwork.com. Also, nerdylaser.wordpress.com for more info.